our Tuesday regular, who I love talking to. He is a tragic Rabbitohs fan, and he is our IT and gadget guru, and he's got a wonderful website, techguide.com.au. The man behind it all, Stephen Fenwick, is on the line. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Richard. How you doing?
The Australian Electoral Commission has warned it has very limited scope to protect voters from deepfake videos and phone calls imitating politicians in upcoming elections. And this has been a real problem over in the United States and South Korea. And according to Tom Rogers from the AEC, the Australian Electoral Commissioner, deepfake videos that are political in nature are not currently prohibited under Australia's electoral law, Stephen.
Yeah, well, so the law, it's hard for it to keep up with technology, and this is a case in point here where this sort of misinformation in the form of these deepfake videos and other misinformation could have an effect on how people vote. It's a real worry where what you see, people see what they see on social media. See, social media, that's the internet for them. That's where they live. And if they're seeing this sort of stuff on those platforms, then it could affect their opinions. It could affect who they're going to vote for. So that's why it's a very sensitive area. So these platforms have a real responsibility to make sure to weed out this misinformation. They can try. I know X, Elon Musk's platform. They're pretty vigilant like that, but how do you stop it?
It's trying to stop a
freight train with a thimble. It's too hard.
Yeah, the commission has said they can act when misinformation is spread about the electoral process, but they have very limited powers to intervene over political material. And they've said if the messages are authorised, duly authorised, they don't fall afoul of the Electoral Act currently. And that was speaking to a Senate committee. Yeah.
A big grey area there we've got the US election coming up later this year. We'll have our election next year, if not sooner. So I think, and social media plays a part. The parties know that. So they campaign online. They know that their online plays a huge role. Whether the misinformation gets out there is yet to be seen.
And look, just this access for young Australians to, you know, have a social media account, you know, people are talking about 14. I think the Prime Minister's now talking about 16. But it is a tough issue, the age verification, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And this started last week. We were mentioning, I think, the South Australian Premier who kicked the ball off here, got the ball rolling. And other states have chimed in, and yeah, there are issues, and they're all recognising the fact that, you know, there have been serious episodes of bullying where, you know, teenagers have committed suicide, and it's a lot of self-image problems and sort of how people present themselves. There are issues there, and I think a younger user on the platform, it may be a little bit overwhelming whether 16 is the right age. Who knows? But I definitely think there needs to be some rules for, because you got to remember, when these platforms were created, they created the rules. They want as many people on there as possible. So that's why they said, oh, yeah, 12 or 13, go for your life.
Yeah.
So there was no sort of regulatory thing that they had to pass because they were so new. They didn't have to get any kind of approval or any kind of standard set. They just saw, well, let's make it 12.
Yeah.
And that's how it's been. And now I think this follows. I've written about the return of the dumb phones, like the 3210 Nokia 25-year-old phone is coming back again because younger people are recognising the fact that they do spend too much time on these platforms. They need to pull back a little bit. They need to do a bit of a digital detox. Yeah. That's why sales of these dumb phones have doubled in the last year. Gen Z millennials are buying these phones so all they can do is talk and text, so they're not buried in their phone when they're with friends and family. Okay. This is a real movement.
Okay, digital detox, I like that one. Apple, they're always coming out with the latest and greatest. They've got a new range of accessibility features coming to their iPad, including eye tracking?
Yeah, that's right, iPad and iPhone, as a matter of fact. And this is remarkable. Apple's always been at the head of this, the accessibility, so anyone with any kind of disability can still get the most out of their device. The latest is this eye tracking, so iPhone, iPad uses the front camera to set up and to run it. So basically what you look at on the iPad, it sees where you're looking. If you dwell on a button or a part of the screen, that will trigger, that'll make it like it's a button click.
Wow.
So if your eyes rest on a button, it'll say, okay, you can set how long. If you rest on there for 2 seconds, that's a click.
Okay.
And it also can then correspond with the various swipes and gestures, all using your eyes. No additional apps required, no additional accessories required, all works within the iPhone and iPad.
And what about vocal?
One of many.
Yeah, and vocal shortcuts. What's that one all about?
Yeah, vocal shortcuts is like people with maybe speech impediments, people who maybe had a stroke, they can't speak clearly anymore.
Okay, right.
So they can record these commands and then choose to the function for whenever they say that phrase in their own way, they can assign a task to that. So say I say, open Facebook, and this person will say it how they say that. It might not sound like open Facebook, but whatever that utterance is, they can record that and relate and then
All right.
link it to that command.
Okay.
So whenever they say that, the iPhone or iPad will recognize, okay, so you want to do this. So it really enables, empowers those users to still get what they want out of their device, even though they can't issue a spoken command like the rest of us can.
Yeah, okay. So for those with physical disabilities, these new accessibility features coming to the iPad and the iPhone, they sound like they're fantastic.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine is buying a new Dyson. They found a deal online. They're getting one for half price, but they've reinvented the mop. They've got their first dedicated wet floor cleaner Dyson.
Yeah. This is the Wash G1, so it's their first wet floor cleaner. You know, they've had the vacuums for quite a while.
So I'm a big fan.
Oh, you're a user, there you go, one of many, there you go. Well, when you have a wet floor, so say you've got a mess on the floor, someone's dropped a bowl of cereal or something, and you've got to clean it up. Before, it used to be the mop and bucket. Well, now Dyson has a solution where you can clean up those spills. It's got these dual rollers that rotate in different directions. There's a tray that can separate the debris from the liquid, and there's a tank for the dirty water, and there's a tank for clean water to hydrate that area as well. So, again, engineered to within an inch of its life here, does a great job, does a hygienic job too. So you're not touching anything that's dirty. You can easily clean it, easily change the dirty water out, and it can get you back to getting a clean floor again. Hard floors, of course, so tiles, wooden floorboards and everything like that.
Okay.
But it is, it's their very first one. And, so there's a tray that separates the debris. You can just tip that in the bin. There's easily accessible water tanks, so you get rid of the dirty water and fill up with clean water.
And
it does it all.
Is it available now, the Dyson Wash G1?
It's available for pre-order. I think it goes on sale this week. It's going to be $999.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Bit more than the old mop.
A little bit more, yeah, but this does a pretty good job at keeping your floors clean.
Well, I've got a stick vac, my Dyson stick vac, and I love it. Mate, always good to talk to you. Good luck. Good luck. You take on the Undersea Parramatta on Saturday. Good luck.
Yep, that's right. It's the Sack Coach's Shield this week.
All right, good luck, mate. Thanks,
buddy.
We'll catch up next Tuesday. Our IT and gadget guru, Stephen Fenwick.